Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. They get me high like you do.
And welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 of the Fan. We're broadcasting live from one of the really cool places in downtown St. Louis, Maggie O'Brien's. And a reminder, at this downtown location, parade day is Saturday. They're open at 9 a.m. Corned beef and cabbage will be flowing. St. Patrick's Day is Sunday. Shuttles to events, Bush and the Enterprise. It's the 40th anniversary year, food and drink specials. Maryville University sponsors our phone lines. And they're continuing to build a more diverse and inclusive campus. It's a core value of the institution and one of four pillars in Maryville's strategic plan. Joining us now here is the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission, our friend Frank Viverito. Frank, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I am doing great, and I sort of feel like a palate cleanser after the last last hour there.
Yes, we sometimes have to hose out the studio in Webster Groves when they're done. But they make for good radio, and they're good men. Chuck's an old friend of mine.
Yes.
You knew Chuck from when he when you were at UMSO as the sports information director?
That goes back to 1983, I think we
were
both.
So he was 55 then?
I think he was still in high school.
Now,
then.
How did you know him being the sports information director? Did he come around?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Wait a minute. He may have even sold us our shoes.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean.
That's right.
The days of, well, Mike Claiborne was at American Cablevision at the time. And,
yeah.
And you were in your glory days at UMSO with Bobby McCormick. And those were good times.
You know, those shoes, when they first came out, Chuck, you can
pull
them.
They were the ruse, right? Kangaroos.
Yeah, now, they were so bizarre. I mean, they were good shoes and everything. But, I mean, here you are wearing high-top tennis shoes, and they had that zipper pouch like a kangaroo.
Like a kangaroo, exactly.
What year did they? You got us like in 82, 81 maybe?
Yeah, I started with Kangaroo in 1980. And
we were one of your first accounts, I bet.
I'm still in Bashan with my first accounts.
There you go.
And, Tom Bartow you were dealing with. He was
Tom
always looking
Bartow,
for a deal.
And also, was McVessel there?
Rich McVessel was there,
sure. Him, yeah.
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 So it was a fun time then. You were our test pilot.
That's exactly right. And
we didn't sell them to you.
We
gave them to you.
Yeah.
It was the first shoe deal at UMSO, I'm pretty sure.
That's right. It was.
And, you know, when you first get to college, you're like, oh, my God, all these shoes are for free? We had all this kangaroo stuff. We also had Converse. And Converse, this is a great story. Converse screwed up our shoe. It was a nice shoe. Remember that Dr. J, the leather shoe? Not the Chuck Taylor. But they had that leather shoe. And on this logo, we thought, oh, this is really cool. They put University of Missouri, St. Louis. But they put University of Missouri, St. Louis U. They screwed it up bad.
That UMSA was our first time we made a shoe from blue. And we only had two colors, blue and white, a gray and white, or white. There were three colors.
Yeah, we had the white.
We did the red and white for you guys.
Exactly right.
Then we went to a little burgundy, because you were like burgundy, not red, correct?
Well, it was red, red and gold. It was red and gold.
Yeah, so we used to joke about that all that. University of Missouri, St. Louis U. Gosh.
I remember one day you said, how did they come up with the concept? Well, the owner of the company was a guy named the late Robert Gamm.
Yeah.
He used to be a runner.
Yeah.
In Forest Park. He said, man, I would lose my keys.
Yep.
He said, I came up with an invention how to put the keys. So what they did, the first shoe, you pull the tongue apart, and that's where you put the key. That was the first pocket.
I had those shoes up until about 7 or 8 years ago.
I'll get you another pair.
You
were
still buying kangaroos?
No, I wasn't buying them. I had one pair in my closet.
I'm sure.
Now, do they still make them?
There's a company in Europe that still makes the shoe. It's not as prevalent as what it used to be.
Wow.
But UMSO and Vershawn, UMSO was probably our first flagship college that we had.
It was
the first.
Frank, I can't help but think, this place, which is really a festive place, they do a great business, what this place could be like if in a year or so, or 2 years, we find out the MLS is coming here.
Right. I mean, we're, 10 feet away from, the entrance to the stadium. And, you know, when you think about the whole concept. They use the term arch to park, okay? The renovation at the arch, the ballpark village and Busch Stadium and Soldiers Memorial and Enterprise Center and the new aquarium at Union Station and you know, the soccer stadium and what's going on at the Foundry in St. Louis U and Choteau Greenway and Cortex. And, you know, I mean, it's just like it's all, you can almost touch it. You can almost feel like it's going to be a big time city and it's going to really be the catalyst to turn this region around.
You were, your board at the Sports Commission yeah. is loaded with a lot of the movers and shakers in town. And I imagine many of those guys were with Commissioner Garber
exactly.
earlier in the week. Tell
exactly.
me a little bit about it.
Well, you know, if I'm looking for an ownership group, okay, you know, the Taylor Cavanaugh group is what I would want to have. If I'm looking for a corporate community, the St. Louis corporate community is what I would want to have behind my effort. And I wasn't in the room this week, but I remember a very, very similar gathering out at Belle Reve Country Club in about 2011 when the PGA came to town, and there were 20 CEOs, nobody's representatives, all the CEOs in the room saying we're behind this bid for the PGA Championship, and I know that's what happened this week as well.
Now, one of the things that St. Louis has to show the commissioner is, in addition to the stadium plans, but stadium sponsorship, and Carolyn Kindle-Betts said this week that it would not be a good idea if Enterprise is the stadium sponsor, because
sure.
they want to show the fact that
right.
there's more companies involved. Are you reasonably confident, or what are you hearing in that regard? Because this thing's got to be decided real quick.
Well, am I reasonably confident? Absolutely. Like I said, I wouldn't want any other corporate community, you know, standing behind a team. And you had the 17 or 18 people in the room who could all logically do that. So, you know, at what stage the negotiations are in, I don't know, but you got to believe that there's multiple companies in this community that are going to step forward for those opportunities.
All right. I don't know if you've been to the Enterprise Center lately to our listening audience, but it's just absolutely magnificent. And then this summer, it'll be phase two. Tell me about what happens.
Well, I have been at Enterprise Center recently, like as recently as, I think, Tuesday night for the Blues-Coyotes game. So, yes, I have seen it. And the crazy thing about it is it's barely half done, okay? And so they've been working the past two summers, and this summer they'll pull out all the lower bowl seats, and they'll pretty much finish the experiential part for fans of the renovation. So, you know, all the things.
All new seats?
All new seats will be in the building by September of,
wow.
this year. And then we're still working with the Blues to get the state to fund the second half of the renovation, which is more of an infrastructure renovation. They're starting now on escalators. They want to build a new bank of elevators. They want to do a new roof. They need some new HVAC. They need new boilers. The building needs a full remake, and they're well on their way to making it happen. But you can easily see how wonderful it already is, just half done.
And so you're capitalizing on that right now as we speak. Bids for the U.S. Olympic Gymnastic Trials for 2020 and U.S. Figure Skating Championships in 21 and 22. That's happening right now.
Sure. And, you know, like if you take just one step back to the NHL All-Star Game bid, you know, we're back in the game now. We were really struggling with...
You were in a gunfight without artillery.
Exactly. No bullets. And so the, you know, the NHL is back in 2020. The NCAA is back next year with first and second round basketball. I hate that the NCAA tournament has taken place this year and is not in St. Louis. Then we're bidding for, as you just mentioned, the United States Olympic men's and women's gymnastics trials, which will take place next June. And so we're connecting all of our initiatives that we go out and bid for events. We've been working hard with the Blues on the renovation of the facility, and we're promoting St. Louis's Olympic legacy every day as America's first Olympic city. And that sort of comes together in a bid for a high-profile event like the Gymnastics Olympic Trials, which would take place next June.
Okay, you can't – all Final Fours have to be at domes, correct?
Yes.
And do you think – I know you gave it a – you know, an incredible effort to try to get the last set. But you, can you get a Final Four at that dome the way that is now?
It's the same question that's kind of asked in different ways very often. Is the building good enough to host a Final Four? Sure it is. The problem is competitively. Is the building better than the brand new building in Minneapolis, which is hosting the Final Four this year? Or is it better than the brand new building in Atlanta? Or is it better than the new buildings in Indianapolis or Dallas? It's not competitively better. Could it host the event physically? Yes, it can. Is it going to win against those cities?
Yeah.
Likely not.
Well, how would you make a presentation again if there's no events in there athletically now?
Well, it's just it's too big an obstacle to overcome. That we, you know, we can't offer more money, we can't offer more flights, we can't offer, you know, a newer venue. It's just too hard to win an event like the Final Four competitively. Can St. Louis host it? Absolutely. Could we do a good job with it? Absolutely, we have in the past. But again, it's the competitive aspect of it that's so difficult.
All right, what about regional finals? And aren't we trending back to facilities like the Enterprise Center and not domes for regional finals?
Yes, and so we are back in the game for first and second rounds and regionals. The first and second rounds are even a little bit more attractive because you've got eight teams and six games as opposed to regionals, where you got, you know, four teams and three games. So you get sort of twice as much for your money when you do the first and second rounds. And you get to see some teams that aren't always in the mix and upset, you know, Cinderella and all that. So, yeah, it's great that first and second rounds are back next year. And, you know, we've hosted as many NCAA basketball events as any city in the country in the
Is
past
that right?
25 years. I mean, all credit to the Missouri Valley Conference, which has been doing it for years, and the Metro Conference before them.
So would this city profit more from first and second round than a regional final?
Well, the tax credit that helps support the Sports Commission's effort to bid for events would pay a little bit more because you have you have eight teams, six games, three openings as opposed to two. But as far as St. Louis and the NCAA and what event we would like to have here, we'll take whatever they want to give us.
The total number on what they've done to the Enterprise Center is what? And then can you explain how they are paying for it? The Blues are not getting taxpayers' money in a sense. They're paying for it themselves?
Well, the money that's been spent to date is about $70 million. And as I say, those are experiential, you know, the experience, fan experience renovations. The city of St. Louis has stepped forward and is making a very significant investment in the building to the tune of $65 to $70 million. So after many, many years of the Blues, you know, the private sector has built the, you know, Kiel Center, which is what it was called at the time, that the Blues ownership groups have funded all of the maintenance, all the operations, and all the operating losses for the Blues over the first 25 years. So Blues ownership has invested between $500 and $700 million in the building and the team, and it's great now that the city of St. Louis is stepping forward with $65 to $70 million to fund the first round of renovations.
Could we do a WrestleMania here? Have you ever bid St. Louis for that?
We could do a WrestleMania here. It would certainly be
at the Dome.
And, you know, it's not exactly the Sports Commission's mission. I think you know, it certainly veers to the entertainment side of sports, if you want to call it that. But I know WWE is interested in this market, and my guess is it would be a very successful event here. It's Final Four weekend, as a matter of fact.
How about, speaking of interesting events, the USFL, not the USFL, the XFL. Coming to St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be five dates at the Dome.
Right.
What's your take? Are you excited about it? what do you think success is? 20,000 people or what?
Well, you know, you'd probably have to ask Vince McMahon what he thinks success is, and it's not a local ownership event. The teams are owned by the league. I think that success is going to deal for them is going to deal with revenue. It's going to be our TV ratings good. The onset of sports betting is likely going to come into play a little bit. The other cities in the league are big time NFL cities. So I think it'll be interesting in St. Louis. I think it'll attract a following. It is football, but I don't think it's going to have the groundswell of excitement that MLS would have.
What do you think success would be, just off the top of your head, attendance-wise?
You said 20,000. I think that they would be delighted if the team would draw 20,000.
You think 10,000 is more realistic is what they'll draw?
I mean, if I had to guess, I would say between 10 and 20, but it depends on, you know, whether it's, you know, if Isaac Bruce is coaching the team and it's got a lot of local players, and you know, it depends on how the excitement builds for the product.
Have you heard any names? We heard Jim Haslett early, but I think he's out of it.
Isaac
would be perfect.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's the best. Yeah. He belongs in the Hall of Fame too, by the way.
New NCAA bid cycle starts fall of 2022. How likely is the Frozen Four here?
Well, the Frozen Four is number one on our list, and the Frozen Four is a perfect example of an event that we had a difficult time bringing back because of the venue. And so now that the venue is renovated, that's the first event we're going for. It's right up there with bringing NCAA wrestling back. And when we
did you lose wrestling because of the venue?
Well, we only got wrestling one out of four opportunities in this current bid cycle. So for years, we'd been at the 2 out of 4 level, and this time around, we dropped to the 1 out of 4. And I think it was a dicey choice because it was before the commitment to renovate Enterprise Center. So I'm delighted it's coming back in 21, but now we have some bullets in the gun for the next bid cycle, and it's Frozen Four, and it's NCAA wrestling, and it's NCAA basketball, and much more.
Okay, you know, there's a percentage of people out there that never want any public money put into any type of sports venue. So let's just say you get a Frozen Four, and let's just say you get another NCAA regional because of the improvements. What does each of those mean economically?
Well, I mean, each of those events is likely going to attract about $15 million in visitor spending.
Okay, so that's $30 million.
That's $30 million. And it's just so hard. I mean, I understand the concept of, well, we shouldn't spend public money to do that. But I also understand the concept of a public-private partnership. And if the Blues ownership has already invested $500 to $700 million in that facility, then what you're talking about in terms of a partnership, you still have the Blues ownership groups having invested 10 times as much as the public sector. So maybe the idea of the, you know, the taxpayers digging deep to pay the whole cost of building the dome is off the table now.
Yeah.
But the idea of public-private partnership can't be off the table because it's on the table in every city in the United States and will become completely non-competitive if we don't have a cooperative team effort in this region.
Great stuff. Frank, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
Frank Viverito, president of the Sports Commission and only the second most powerful man in his own household. That belongs to the great Patty Viverito. All right. Maryville sponsors our phone lines. Their Digital World program provides students with free iPads loaded with textbooks and more than 1,500 apps. Go to maryville.edu.